In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello and welcome to Beacon of Truth, and I am Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, I have to tell you, my friends, I am still energized by yesterday's show on Eucharistic Adoration. You know what? Beautiful cause. I constantly talk about adoration. If you ever heard me speak live, you know, I rave about adoration, how important it is, not just to my life, but the life of the parish, the life of the church. And yesterday's calls were just so uplifting, so invigorating, so encouraging. And so if you've been sitting on the fence about adoration, if you didn't get a chance to listen to yesterday's show, listen to the archive, because you will be inspired to go and spend that time before the Lord. I'm telling you, it's the best hour of my week, spending that time before Him. The beautiful thing that I love about yesterday's show as well, about adoration, and we trust me, we will be doing more shows on adoration. I didn't even get to the content that I had planned to speak about, because I was going to, you know, lay like a biblical foundation in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, going forward for the idea of Christ, or the idea of God being present in the bread in the Old Testament. I was going to talk about, you know, we already talked about the institution of Jesus being present in the Eucharist, John 6, and then I was going to talk about the Church Father. I didn't get to any of that yesterday. So that leaves room for a future show on Eucharistic Adoration, which we'll definitely will do, because obviously that it touched a lot of people. And I hope you go back and listen and just hear the testimonies of the people who break themselves open and pour themselves out before the Lord in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. And the other thing I was reflecting about today was the fact that the Eucharist gives us our strength. Sacraments aren't magic. Sacraments have power in our lives when we cooperate freely, cooperate with the grace of the sacraments to say yes to what God wants to do in our lives. And the Eucharist strengthens us as the food on the journey. Because remember, and I've said before, we're on pilgrimage here on earth. This life, from the time we're born to the time we're conceived to the time we die, is a pilgrimage. And just like any pilgrimage, at the end of the pilgrimage, what do? You go home. And our home is heaven. That's our true home. And the Eucharist strengthens us and nourishes us along that journey of life. So in my book, the more time you spend with Jesus, I think the less arduous that journey will be. You know, because we're strengthened. And finally, I was also reflecting on the fact that spending time before the Eucharist and reflecting on Christ, the meaning of my life, and asking Him to, for all of us, to allow Him to use the gifts that He's given us to their fullest and greatest potential, so that in everything that we do, that we're giving honor and glory and praise to God. That means less time watching political stuff on television and stuff that just makes us angry all the time. You know, and people say, you don't watch television, you don't know what's going on in the world. Well, look, if I want to know what's going on in the world, I watch EWTN News nightly. If I really need to have some kind of news or whatever, then that'll be my go-to source, or go to the National Catholic Register, you know. But I don't need to watch television, except for EWTN. Watch that. Everything else, turn it off. seriously, really consider cutting out as much television as possible that's not bringing you to a deeper union, love, and intimacy with the Lord. You know, if you have to watch it, like if you're like March Madness and whatever, you have to watch the NCAA, whatever, fine, that's fine. But don't make TV your God. I would encourage you, watch less television, spend more time before Jesus, and see what happens, what the Lord does in your life. Well, today, we're going to talk about Catholic education. And the perspective that I'm taking is not Catholic schools, as awesome as they are, and I'm not talking about homeschooling either. You know, what I mean by Catholic education, St. John Paul II called the family the domestic church, the church of the home, because that's the place where you first learn to fall in love with Jesus. And that one of the primary responsibilities of parents are the education of their children. So that's what I'm going to talk about. What should that look like in the family? What's the church's understanding of what Catholic education means? Because, again, the home is a place where you learn to fall in love with Jesus. How do we create an environment in our home where that's the case? You want to join us today? Would love to hear from you. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And, well, where in the world am I? Well, yesterday I spoke at a Legatus meeting. In fact, it was the inaugural meeting, is it the brand new chapter of the Legatus there in Charleston, South Carolina. I was honored to serve as Deacon of the Word with the bishop there, and then I had a seminarian serving as Deacon of the Altar. So, and I had a chance to sit next to His Excellency, and we had a wonderful conversation during dinner, and got to know, it was the first time I met him, got to know him a little bit. And now, I mean, it was 75 degrees and sunny, and now I'm in Rosemount, Minnesota. I'm actually here at St. Joseph's Parish that kindly allowed me to do the show from here today. And so I'm grateful to the pastor and the staff here at St. Joe's in Rosemount, Minnesota, where it's 25 degrees. So massive, massive temperature drop. And I'm here speaking at the Men of Christ Rising Daily in Discipleship Men's Conference. The Men of Christ Men's Conference. So if you are in the area, in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area, would love to have you join us. We're going to be here from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. tomorrow, again, at the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemount, Minnesota. Archbishop Hebda is going to be starting off the day with Mass. And then I will give a talk. And Jeff Cavins will also be here. So you gotta meet Jeff, man. He's awesome. Great Adventure Bible Study. If you ever done that in your parish, this is the guy. And also a wonderful collaborator with Dr. Scott Hahn as well. So I'm so excited. I haven't seen Jeff. You know what? I don't think I've seen him since the pandemic. So I'm very excited to be with Jeff again. It's been a long time since we've spoken at the same event together. So and also Bishop Joseph Williams is going to be here. Deacon Joe Mishlak is also going to be here as well. So it's going to be an awesome day from 9 till 3, right? So 3 o'clock, that means you can, there's not going to be a vigil Mass, because the idea is to go back and have Mass on Sunday, especially Palm Sunday, right, with your family. So then it's sponsored by the Catholic Watchmen, right, the Men of Christ Men's Conference. I want to do say a special shout out to my brother Deacon, Deacon Gordon Bird, who is one of the organizers and coordinators for the Men's Conference, and he's also a regular on our calls for the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. And so I'm so thrilled to be with him. So would love to have you here. So again, on the show today, on Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sibbers, we are talking about Catholic education, not Catholic schools, not homeschooling, but the idea that the parents are the primary educators of their children. And what does that look like? What is our role and responsibility as parents in the education of our children? Obviously, particularly in the faith. Again, we'd love to have you join us today on this Friday, the fifth week of Lent, 833-288-3986. And the show is brought to you by some amazing folks, Charles Beery doing social media, Matt Kabinski screening calls, and Ace McKay, our producer extraordinaire, who brings you that incredible bumper music that we hear every day on the show.
Thank you, sir. Happy Friday. I wanted to ask you, a question came up after the show yesterday about Eucharistic adoration of what about someone who has not experienced, like they've been to adoration but not experienced or felt the things that a lot of our listeners were talking about yesterday?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a relationship, right? So, 'cause you're there with our Lord and he's present there. And sometimes, I mean, maybe you just have to just go and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just be quiet. You know, like Psalm 46, verse 11 says, be still and know that I am God. So just sit there and look at Christ. Let Christ look at you and then let the conversation begin.
All right. Absolutely.
We come back. We're going to be breaking open the Psalms on Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Our topic today is Catholic education. We'd love for you to join us. 833-288-3986. Yeah.
One of your faves.
I like that one. Again, that's the Duran Duran.
It kind of has that March Madness feel to it to me, too.
So. Yeah, I like that bass line, man.
It's always the groove, and everybody always goes for the air drums, but sometimes you just got to appreciate the bass line.
Yeah, exactly. Because the guitar's just doing just straight chords. Like, damn, like letting them ring.
Yeah.
You know, instead of muting them, just letting them ring out a little bit.
What do they say, that bass is the bacon of music? So, you know, it adds the flavor.
Yes, yes. And this song is definitely the bass that's driving it. That's awesome. Well, you're listening. Yes, you are at the right place. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. Our topic today is Catholic education, not Catholic schools, not homeschooling, but the role of parents in the education of their children. We'd love for you to be part of our conversation today. The phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And this show is able to happen because we have some incredible team members working behind the scenes. We have Matt Gabinski screening the calls, Charles Berry doing social media, and our producer bringing you that great bumper music, Ace McKay.
Of course, we want to remind you this weekend you have prayer requests of any kind, anytime, especially as we head into Easter. We are here to pray for you. Easy to do in submission. You can do it anonymously or use your real name, but EWTN.com/prayer is how you can reach out this weekend.
Right. Well, when you hear the psalm music, you know it is time to break open the Word of God in the Psalms. And today we're going to look at Psalm 127. And again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey and approved for use by the USCCB for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And today's psalm is Psalm 127. So 127 goes from 106 to 150. And this grouping of psalms, 120 to 134, are the gradual psalms, or what's called the songs of ascents, because these were songs that were sung by worshipers as they traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths. And these were to be the songs they would singing as they went up to Jerusalem. Because no matter what direction you're going, you're always going up to Jerusalem. Now, what's interesting about this psalm also, this is one of two psalms attributed to Solomon, David's son. The other one is Psalm 72. So this one starts off, the first verse, or part of the first verse is the prescript. It's very simple. A song of ascents of Solomon. Right? Very simple. And it goes, if the Lord does not build the house, in vain do its builders labor. Now, again, if the Lord does not build the house, remember, Solomon was the one who oversaw the construction of the first temple. So remember, David wanted to build a temple, But the prophet came to him and said that, well, you have too much blood on your hands from all the wars that you fought. So what David did was he began the process of collecting all the materials, the acacia wood and the gold and all the other things that went into building the temple, the stones and everything, and he got the craftsmen and all those that were skilled artists and carpenters and builders. And he got all that assembled, and then Solomon was the one who actually oversaw the construction. So again, this makes sense. The Lord does not build the house. In vain do the builders labor. And I'm using this particular psalm on purpose because it's going to tie in with our theme today on Catholic education. If the Lord does not guard the city, in vain does the guard keep watch, right? So the guarding the city. So he's talking about the stronghold, the city, the house. But I think of this also when I think about ourselves. You know, we have to keep guard and let the Lord keep guard and watch over our hearts, right? So that when we're exposed to things, that they don't begin the process of eroding God's love out of our hearts. You know, so we have to be so focused that our hearts are in sync, are in communion with our Lord's most sacred heart, with the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, that we want to make sure that we're keeping watch and keeping guard over our hearts, letting the Lord come into our lives, come into our hearts, and help us to inoculate us, to protect us. Again, with the grace and the strength of the sacraments as well. To inoculate us from the things in the culture that are trying to divert our attention away from intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion with the living God. It continues in verse 2. In vain is your earlier rising, your going later to rest. You who toil for the bread you eat when he pours gifts on his beloved while they slumber. All right? So, in vain is your early. So if we're not doing this, so what are we doing? Your earlier rising. Remember, we talked about some psalms already where it talked about I will awake the dawn, right? I will awake the dawn. So this idea of sanctifying the day, making the day holy. We talked about how monks and cloistered nuns, you know, they get up early in the morning and they greet the sun. Not just the sun that rises, but the Son of God, the Son who rose from the dead, the dawn from on high, Zechariah said, that will break upon us, that shines on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, to meet the Lord every day in our prayer. And so if we don't keep guard over our hearts, if we don't allow God to work in our lives, then in vain is our early rising, our going later to rest. So again, sacrificing sleep, making that sacrifice every day for the Lord so we can spend more time praising him. You who toil for the bread you eat, when he pours gifts on his beloved while they slumber. So we can't be working at things that are quote-unquote productive. Like how much money can I make? How much wealth can I build? How much all these material things can I amass, right? If we're not, but yet he pours gifts on his beloved while they slumber. So those who are offering their lives to God, you know, he gives them blessings even while they're asleep. Even while they're asleep, they're receiving the blessings. But people think they can get their own blessings by toiling for bread that ultimately can't satisfy, right? And it continues in verse 3. Yes, children are a gift from the Lord, a blessing, the fruit of the womb, right? Oh, look at that line. Come on now. Mm-hmm. That's from the Hail Mary. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, right? Jesus, that we pray in the Hail Mary.
Well, you know, and as you talk about preparing our hearts, you know, especially as we head into Holy Week, what do we do before we get to Mass? What are we doing at the beginning of every day, but at the beginning of every Mass, whether you're going daily or weekly or how often? We can't just walk, or at least I know for me, I can't just walk in and like, ooh, you know, I got something out of that. Like I prepared myself before I walk in so that I'm ready before anything else happens. And then whatever God wants to happen is going to happen so that I have an overflow to take with me when I'm leaving. Like that's my responsibility, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we have to, just like anything else, like an athlete or musician, you got to put that time in. You know, if you're going to have, you're going to see results, if you're going to be productive, you got to put that time in. It's no different with our faith. The more we prepare, I think the better the experience is going to be.
Amen.
You know, and Jack was chiming in saying that, you know, if you sat in the presence of enriched uranium 238, you might very well feel no different, but I guarantee that you are. That's so,
so true.
That is so true, because you don't feel anything, but yeah, it's doing stuff to you.
Yeah.
You know, and not good either. However, sitting before the Lord, you know, you may not feel anything, but it's not about how you feel. Come on. Those of us who are in love with our spouses, you know, sometimes you don't feel every day like you're in love. You know, you just kind of feel blah some days, you know, it goes with any relationship. There's ups and there's downs, and there's just times of just level ground where everything's just even, you know, but spending time with them is still very important. So Jack makes an excellent, excellent point there. So continuing with Psalm 127. Yeah, children are a blessing, a gift from the Lord, a blessing, the fruit of the womb. Now, not just a blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, right? Part of the Hail Mary there. But also that children are a gift. You know, so many times children are seen as a burden. Children are seen as an inconvenience. And so that's why abortion exists. You know, take the life of innocent children because they're an inconvenience to us. We don't see them as a blessing. We don't see them as a gift. And some people in this culture see them as a curse, actually. And nothing could be further from the truth. Verse 4, indeed, the sons of youth are like arrows in the hand of a warrior, right? The arrows in the hand of a warrior. So the arrows are what? The weapon, right? And so we have to pass our faith on to our children, right? Because we're not always going to be here. So just like David did, actually, for Solomon. And I think this is, again, I think Solomon was inspired by his experience with his father when David was dying in 1 Kings chapter 2. You know, we right at the beginning, we see David's on his deathbed. He's giving his last words to his son Solomon. He tells him to be a man. But not just to be a man, to follow the ways of the Lord, walking in his ways, following his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, his testimonies. You know, follow the ways of the Lord. And the beautiful part is that David also knows he will not see his grandchildren. Right? He will not see his grandchildren. And so he says, you know, this is not just for you, son, but this is for your sons and their sons and their sons, all the way down to us today. So we have to pass this faith on to our children. And find that this is not the gradual Psalms, except for Psalm 132, are not very long. 132 is pretty long. Psalm 127 ends here in verse 5. Blessed is the warrior who has filled his quiver with these arrows, right? So as we're preparing our children, we are blessed. Because we are preparing to meet the challenges that they will face in the culture. Just like, today we have so many things fighting against our faith that are so antithetical to belief in Christ and belief in God, particularly to our Catholic faith, where they mock us and ridicule us and try to cancel us and deplatform us or demonetize us like YouTube tried to do to me. You know, so all these things are happening. But remember, we are warriors. We are warriors for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right? And we have to remember, God fights with and for us. And so what happens if we remember this? He will have no cause for shame when he disputes with his foes in the gateways. Right? We don't have to be ashamed of our faith because we stand for the truth, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today, on Beacon of Truth, we're talking about Catholic education. And we'd love to hear from you, 833-288-3986.
I just feel like we should play our favorites on Friday. That's, you know, feel-good song.
Yeah, I love that one. Yeah, again, this is the one I dubbed the Zeppelin one.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to start singing. That's awesome, man. Oh, boy. Boy, we have fun on this show, don't we? This is great. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And what I love about EWTN, like myself, I rarely watch any television. So when I get, how do I access EWTN? I access two ways, through my laptop, which goes with me everywhere because I'm constantly working as I'm traveling. I go to EW10.com, and I can go to On Demand there. I can go to, well, mostly what I watch is the live television stream. So you can do that, or use the app, which I do on the plane. So the EWTN app, which is awesome. It's gotten so much better over the years. It's really fantastic. On Demand is amazing. You can listen to our archives of your favorite shows. You can both radio and television, by the way. They even have some of the series or the mini series on there. The one on transgenderism is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
It is phenomenal. So I want to encourage all of you to, turn off the television. But if you need your EWTN fix, you can always go to EWTN.com or on the app as well. And this show is brought to you by some great people at EWTN. Matt Gabinski screening the calls, Charles Beery doing the social media, and Ace McKay, the producer extraordinaire.
Of course, while you're downloading the app, something you can think about for this weekend as you head into Holy Week is Jeanette DeMello and Matthew Bunsen bringing you some great insights into Holy Week with Register Radio. And this weekend, they're going to have Jonathan Lytle, who's going to be talking about Vatican News, catching you up on that. And also Father Jeffrey Kirby talking about the importance of Spy Wednesday. So if you want to find out more about that, check it out Saturday afternoon, 4 Eastern, and Sunday morning at 11 on EWTN Radio.
All right. Just want to give one more quick plug. If you're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, I'll be speaking at the Men of Christ Conference on Saturday, tomorrow, Saturday, March 23rd. The conference goes from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemount, Minnesota. I will be there with Jeff Cavins. We will be the keynote speakers, along with Archbishop Hebda, Bishop Joseph Williams, and Deacon Joe Michalak. So I just want to encourage you. I always love meeting our EWTN family in person. Well, today we're talking about Catholic education and the phone number to call. Because if you have experienced, maybe you want to pass along some things that you did to pass along the faith to your own children. What have you done to lay a foundation in your children's heart for the faith? Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. So, the foundation, I think, of Catholic education, at least from a parental perspective, is our job is to lay a strong foundation in the hearts of our children. And the foundation of the family is built on a strong marriage. Now, I know that there's some of you that are listening that are not married, that, you know, either your spouse is deceased or either you might have gone through a divorce or even you're struggling right now in your marriage and you don't feel your marriage is very strong and you're struggling because the kids are seeing the tension between, you know, you and your spouse. And, my contention is that the stronger you work on your marriage, the stronger the foundation you'll build in your kids' lives. So for me, my parents were divorced. When my dad left, I helped my mom take care of the family. And so I get it. You know, family life is not perfect, but, you know, my mom did what she could by her witness, mostly by her witness and example, because she had very simple faith, but that faith was very strong, very strong. So what's this foundation I'm talking about? Well, it comes from the psalm that we did today, Psalm 127. If the Lord does not build a house, in vain do the builders labor. So what does that mean? That the Lord builds the house of our children's lives with them. And for them, right? We parents don't do that. That's not our job. Our job is not to build the house of our children's lives with them. Our job is to lay a foundation upon which, when they leave our house and go out into the world, they will have a strong foundation to build the house of their lives with God, right? And I think Jesus gives us a beautiful message of this on the toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through 7, chapters 5 to 7. In chapter 7, he says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock." That's what I'm talking about. Laying the strong foundation in our children's lives, whether you're with your spouse, whether you're by yourself, the witness and example. Teenagers especially can spot a fake a mile away. You know, so our faith has to be genuine. It has to be real. It has to be sincere. It has to be lived out. And our children need to see that we are in love with Jesus and our Catholic faith. Not just tell them. We have to witness and show them. That's what my mom did. I felt so beautifully. Because she wasn't an apologist or anything like that. She couldn't tell you the Trinity or anything. But her lived witness and example left an indelible impression on my heart and most definitely helped to build that strong foundation in our life. That's particularly critical today for our young people. You know, you listen to Bishop Barron quoting statistics, it just makes your heart break, especially the one where he said that the average age for when a young person decides, "I am no longer Catholic," is 13 years old. So they've effectively left the faith before they even left your house. You know, that's tragic. And so what Jesus is alluding to here, if we give them an example, the example of Christ, to just like David the Solomon, the Lord's testimonies, the Lord's ordinances, the Lord's, if you follow the ways of the Lord, that's what we have to show them, be examples for. Then we will help them to build the foundation upon a solid rock. Because when the winds of transgenderism and redefinition of marriage and gender and abortion and assisted suicide and euthanasia and all of these ills that we're experiencing in the world today, it will beat upon them, but the house of their life will not fall because it was founded on the foundation of solid rock of our faith in Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call. We're talking about Catholic education. Not homeschooling, not Catholic schools, but the role and responsibilities of parents raising their kids. The number to call to join us is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Now, if we don't do this, what does Jesus say? Continuing in Matthew 7. "Everyone who hears these words of mine," right, the words of truth that comes from he who is truth itself, the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't do them, we don't live out our faith. Jesus says, "We'll be like the foolish man who built his house upon sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Oh boy. So many parents have experienced this. Kids who are away from the church. And they're left saying to themselves, "What happened? They went to Catholic school, and they went to they got confirmed, and they were part of youth group, went to mass every Sunday, and what happened?" Well, you know, the wind of the culture blew against them, and they didn't have a strong foundation upon which to stand, and so they fell. But this happened. This almost seems to be the norm now, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like that? That, you know, it was almost normal for kids to kind of just walk away from the faith for a while. But I think we underestimate the pull and the attraction of this crooked and depraved generation, as St. Paul says. So what we can't do is outsource our responsibility of teaching the faith to our children to Catholic schools or youth groups, which are important and essential in the life of the church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're not. But what I'm saying, they're there. They exist to support, not to take the place of what's supposed to be happening in the house. And we have Karen, who's driving through Kentucky, listening on Sirius XM 130. And Karen, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. Nice to be here. I definitely support what you were saying about how it has to be in the home and you can't just let the school just drive everything, correct?
Yes, exactly. Because see, what happens, Karen, if you do that, then the kids learn all these wonderful things about Jesus, but let's be real, a lot of it is head knowledge for them. And then they come home to try to see that faith being lived out. That's the heart knowledge. See, the knowledge of Jesus in the head and the practical experience of seeing that faith being lived out, especially in the church of the home, and they see that witness and that example. And so the head and the heart work together. It's kind of a holistic approach to the faith. But if that home piece is missing, then the what they're learning in school and youth group becomes more of an academic exercise. Okay, math, English, science, language arts, religion class. Just another thing to tick off a list. Okay, I went to the prom. I got my driver's license. I got confirmed. And so it becomes Catholic graduation. You see? So it has to be both and. And again, if you don't have a wonderful marriage or, you know, you may be divorced, whatever your situation may be, because we're all in different situations. I myself, as I mentioned, grew up in a situation with a single mom. And even when my dad was there, he wasn't practicing. He never went to church ever when we were growing up. So, you know, but my mom was there as that anchor and that example. So, yeah, so, you know, whatever choices that we make, we always have to remember that they're going to have repercussions and effects in the lives of our children.
So I think what I've appreciated from, so my kids were in public school, and then last year my daughter, we put her in our church's Catholic school. And it was such a difference. And I knew it was, that's why we wanted to take the sacrifice and have her go there. But I think what really drove home is it really helped confirm a lot of things for me. There was so much support for doing things and living out my faith more completely, learning more about it. And then also just seeing how much those teachers, how they could care for them. Like, we love you too much to let you turn in stuff late. We love you too much, or we see too much in you to let you do the stuff that you were doing. And I really appreciate that, because what public school she was allowed to do, and then in Catholic school she wasn't. She also says it's interesting to be able to pray at school and how much she appreciates being able to pray with her classmates. And so that was a beautiful thing to happen. But I think what I've appreciated is just helping my daughter and just it strengthening my faith. I'm learning also things that I didn't know that I was not as strong at, and it's challenged me to be better. And like you said, just flip that out.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that, Karen. That's great. And in your case, it's wonderful because you're sending to your child to a Catholic school, your daughter to a Catholic school that's actually teaching the Catholic faith. You know, and I'm a product of Catholic education, grade school, high school, university, and graduate school. We're all at Catholic institutions. And my mom, boy, she worked hard as a cardiac care nurse. I mean, so many times she went to work with holes in her shoes and runs in her stockings because we needed stuff, you know. And I saw her living out in a very practical and real way the sacrifice of Christ, you know. Why? She did that because having a Catholic education was so important to her, you know. But the education she gave us was not an academic. She gave us one from the heart. You know, and I still treasure all those beautiful memories of my mom. And, you know, I still remember 9 years old sitting next to her in church, you know, and I'm my heart is being pulled toward the altar as I'm witnessing what's going on at the altar. I don't totally understand it, but I was very attracted to it. And my mom encouraged that. And she prayed with us at home. You know, those are the beautiful memories that I hope to bring in to my own family. You know, that I brought into my own family now. But yes, the fact that she's going there and that your faith is being strengthened, that's a beautiful thing, because, Karen, now you can have conversations with your daughter at home about the faith that she's learning. Now when you pray together at home, she's like, oh, we pray at school and we pray at home. So prayer becomes a natural form of communicating with God for your daughter. That's a beautiful thing, Karen.
Yeah, no, I agree. You're just like music. You know, a song will come on and we'll talk about it. And, I wouldn't consume that. You're right. Here's why. But she still asked those questions because of, you know, something they were talking about with her virtues or that. And I just have to say, and we're just hopeful we can get her out of situation. But it is sacrifice. But kind of like you said, it's worth it. I was telling the person who screened the calls, I was like, I will make lots of sacrifice to continue this because we've just seen tenfold just to come back. And if we can't, but we'll do as much as we can to keep it up. Like you said, it's really neat. We've benefited as much as our kids have.
Yes, amen. And again, beautiful because you're finding that balance. You're not just outsourcing the responsibility of teaching the faith to the schools. You're bringing what she's learning in the school and living that out at home. That's the important piece, because that's going to help lay that strong foundation that we talked about that in both Psalm 127 and in Matthew 7 when Jesus talked about that on the Sermon on the Mount. So that's awesome. Gosh, thank you so much, Karen. That was such a great call. And if you want to join Karen, we're talking about Catholic education, focusing on the role and responsibility of parents to educate their children in the home. The number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And actually, this is a wonderful time of the year to be having these discussions about faith, especially with Holy Week coming up next week. So there's so many opportunities with Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday and Good Friday and the Easter Vigil. Some of the most beautiful liturgies that we have in the church are happening starting this weekend. You know, Holy Week, it really is a very, very special time for all of us as Catholics in the life of the church. And what a special opportunity to connect our children with the deepest mysteries of our faith. You know, having them more deeply connected to the very heart of what our faith is about.
Yeah, my wife actually, she wrote up a big letter telling a little bit about her faith because she realized as we were heading into Holy Week that she'd never really shared that with them. And they're, you know, teenagers. And so as we embark on, you know, Holy Week together as a family, it was very well crafted. And I told her, I said, the thing I love is it's not just them seeing us, you know, reading our Bibles in the morning or praying or to even taking them to church, that it's them seeing the peace in us because we are leaning unto God, because we are trying to execute what we're reading and what we're hearing in the services and bringing that into the house so that it helps them to know where their peace can be found.
Exactly, because that helps them to see that the faith is real.
Yeah.
It's not just something that, we're not just being masked at for an hour. I mean, we're actually engaging in the living God. And when they see that faith being lived out, it's not just something that happens in church. It's not just something that happens in school. It's something that we live in our family every day.
Yeah.
That is, to me, along with the schools and with confirmation class and with youth group, all of that, but that peace being lived out at home, the best way that you can do it, because again, family situations aren't perfect.
Yeah.
You know, they're not. But whatever we can do to lay that strong foundation in the hearts of our children, I think the closer they're going to draw to our Lord's most sacred heart.
Well, and when you're doing speakings with students, how much are you hearing where they are being taken to church and there maybe is talks of God at the dinner table or whatever, but they don't see it in the actions of their parents? And so
yes,
that tends to be what is that turnoff for them.
Yeah, and they see the contradiction. Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, that's a great point. You want to join our conversation? We're talking about Catholic education, not homeschooling, but in the home, the role and responsibilities of passing on the faith to our children. Phone number to call is 833-288-3986 on this Friday before Palm Sunday, 833-288-3986. So, look, parents can bear witness to this responsibility they have of passing on the faith to their children by creating a home where the important values of tenderness, forgiveness, respect, fidelity, humility, right? Not humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. These are the virtues and the values that our children need to be living at home. Look, why is that important? I could tell my daughter all day about the kind of man that she should marry one day, right? But the greatest gift I can give to her is to love my wife. Ephesians chapter 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. When she sees that relationship, you know, because if I want her to marry the man of her dreams, I need to show her what one looks like. And she needs to see that witness and example of my wife and I interacting together and serving the Lord together as husband and wife. So the other piece of it is the commandments. The fourth commandment is honor your father and your mother, you know, because the children have a responsibility in this too. And the fourth commandment is interesting, and that is a hinge commandment. So you have love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So you think of 1 through 3, love God, 5 through 10, love your neighbor as yourself. 4 is both. It's called a hinge commandment. Why? Because it's the only commandment that comes with a promise. The only commandment that comes with that you may have life in the land that I give you. Right? Because because the love of the parents is an ultimate reflection of the love of God. Although, again, parents aren't perfect. Parents make mistakes. Parents do things that are wrong. That's why it's so critically important that we create an environment of love, respect in the home. And Heather is calling us from Dickinson, North Dakota on Real Presence Radio. And Heather, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I had just called in just for a short comment. There's a lot of things I could say, and I really appreciate everything you're saying. I really liked your conversation about living the faith in your home and letting your children see the peace that comes from them seeing you live out your faith. So that was a great point to keep in mind. I have maybe two little comments. I have 5 kids, 16 to 5. So in my 16 plus years of being a mom, something I've done with my little children, like babies and toddlers, is at the consecration time of Mass, in our church, the bells are rung, and I've whispered into my babies or toddlers or preschoolers' ear, Jesus, you know, so that they know that's the real presence of Christ. And that is something I think they've really carried with them. Or my preschoolers will, you know, then repeat. If they just heard the bells and I didn't tell them, they'll say, Jesus, that Mass. And I think just little things like that, like, it's so simple, it doesn't take any extra time, but just help instill in them who that is. And one other thing, I guess, is just driving by churches. It's another thing that doesn't take any extra time, but we say, we love you, Jesus. I just want to instill in them that that is God, and he is worthy of our attention, and we can say a simple affirmation, I love you, Jesus, when we're going by his presence.
Oh, that's so beautiful. You know, it's often the simple things that make the biggest difference. You know, so thank you so much, Heather, for sharing that. What a beautiful call. And we have Marie calling from Columbus, Ohio, in St. Gabriel. And Marie, we only have a couple of minutes left, but thank you so much for joining us on Beacon of Truth.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you for getting my call. I think like those couple of minutes, I'm just going to try to be short. I have my two boys. They are 11 and 9 years old. And I enrolled them in a Catholic school. Their dad is not Catholic, and I am. And I try really to leave the faith at home and even at school. What I usually do is like when they come home at night before they retire for bed, we take the daily passage of the Bible, we read it, and I ask each and every one of them to give me his share, what he understands with regard of the Word of God. So that's how we live it at home, and we try our best, really, to bring the love, the respect, and the forgiveness for one another. It's a beautiful thing to have your children role is to a Catholic school and try always not only to leave it there, but to bring it at home and to share it with them as well.
Oh, Marie, what a beautiful way to end the show today. That is such wonderful advice. You know, so beautiful. Well, you remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And next week is Holy Week. So we're going to start off talking about the meaning of suffering. And may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.